presented by the Citizens.
Yes, indeed. Episode 161 of the Brian's World Live Podcast. I'm your host, Brian James, author and radio host here on the East Coast. And it is Father's Day weekend, one of my favorite weekends of the year, because I love to see a lot of, and I'm just at that age, man. A lot of my friends have grown into these remarkable dads, like just great men, great fathers. And you know, I just love to see the joy up and down my timeline, even though it's very, I guess, anything social media related is kind of very surface oriented. But, you know, it still makes me happy and it still brings me joy. And with me not being a dad myself, I do revel in the opportunities to learn some of those lessons that these men have learned along the way. And actually, that's exactly what happened on today's episode. I had the chance to welcome back Jay Julian and welcome Miguel Sierra to the show. Together, they run My Brother's Keeper. I know you remember we talked about that a couple episodes ago. It's a men's group, you know, and I had the pleasure to jump in for one of the sessions of MBK last month, and I got to experience it for myself, you know. But I think you'll enjoy their sheer honesty, the transparency, the details, the other side of fatherhood. I think you're going to like this one, man. It's going to make you hug your dad a little bit more, or a little bit tighter, I should say. And it'll give you a thorough perspective of what it's like to be behind the lines of fatherhood. Please welcome Jay Julian and Miguel Sierra from My Brother's Keeper.
This is the place where your dreams come true.
It is Brian's World.
So listen. Coming at you.
What does it feel like, I would say, the weeks before your child is born? Like what's running through your head as a man?
Oh, man.
The first time, first child, it's about to happen.
I was 19 years old. You know, a lot of arrogance, I guess, on my part. You know, I was young and full of confidence, and I felt real hyped up about having a daughter. I made a whole bunch of bad decisions, financial decisions, actually. I just started college. I was a freshman in college. I think I maxed out about 3 credit cards, buying the most expensive cribs, and you know what I mean, with the mentality of, I can pay $30 a month on this shit. And those last couple of weeks, I was overly confident in my capacity, abilities to be a father. I was on a high, I guess. You know, so that definitely changed when I had my other children. And mind you, there was a 14-year difference.
Okay.
Between my first and second child. So, I learned a lot from my first child.
You dropped a nice check on like a crib and all of that, you know, like, was that like your initial thought of just trying to like give the best you could at, you know, at that point, or like?
I mean, definitely. But you know, it was one of those things where I was more cocky and arrogant than anything else. I was young, you know what I'm saying? I felt like, yo, my daughter's going to have everything I never had type. You know, it wasn't a plan. It wasn't thought out. I wouldn't say I was stupid, but I was real ignorant to a lot of stuff, especially with credit cards and stuff like that. You know, I guess it was an honest mistake. I tried to give my kid the best stuff I could at the time and not understanding credit and stuff like that. But yeah, I was just very confident in my skills and my ability to provide and all that based on freaking credit cards that I had and credit lines. It's a huge mistake that, you know, you end up paying for that stuff, man, for literally the next 10 years or so, bro. Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Literally. So, but lesson learned.
What about you, Jay?
My first experience was probably the opposite of Miguel's. I was pretty much just filled with anxiety. I was overwhelmed. I felt like I wasn't prepared. I bought a lot of books. I was also a teenager. I was 17 turning 18 when I was in a position to be a father. And I tried to learn as much as possible to be prepared for, you know, my child that I was going to, you know, have to be a father figure to. And I don't know. I don't think that it ever changes. Like, it has not gotten better for me every time. It's kind of even more overwhelming. You know what I mean? And I feel like I've been doing a good job, but I guess the more you learn about just life, the world, like psychology, like emotional intelligence and all of these things that, you know, we're learning on an everyday basis, the more you realize, the more you have to offer to a child that you're bringing into the world. Mm. So it feels like more pressure, and it feels like there's a million things you have to take care of in order to protect that child and to, you know, bring that child into the best possible situation.
Mm. That's about to say, it seemed like it's just a lot of just responsibility. It just kind of dumped on you, like from the moment you find out, and it just seems to like continue. You know what I mean? Like, do you get stronger along the way, or do you just try to, like, you know, let one good decision today lead to another good decision tomorrow, and you know, continue down that path? Like how do you guys deal with, you know, from the anxiety of the pre-birth, you know, to where we are today?
For me, I won't say I get stronger along the way. I just feel like I'm starting to understand things better.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that is a strength to some degree.
Yeah.
Understanding, you know, how the process works, but also understanding that each child is different. Each child who has different needs, different personalities, different desires, like different talents, everything. So one child doesn't necessarily prepare you for the next. It's just you understanding there are certain things that are going to be consistent. Like, you got to feed your children. You got to clean them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to take care of them, like, physically. But when it comes to the emotional, spiritual, like, mental aspects of it, that's just a whole different ballgame every time.
What about you, Miguel? You got anything to add to that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, first, I agree with everything Jay said. I would just add that I think as you get older, whether in fatherhood or just in life in general, you start learning through life experiences that just remaining humble and developing an individual relationship with each one of your children, or maintaining, you know, a close relationship with each one of them.
Yeah.
Even if you have only one, it's important. It's important for us not to try to be our kids' best friend while being their best friend. If that makes sense.
It does. You know what I mean? I'm right there with you.
I mean, because a lot of people, out of fear of their kids hating them or leaving the nest too early, or because it's easier, to be honest, to just give in to them and just be a little homeboy, little homegirls and stuff like that, will not, what's the word I'm looking for? Will not stand up to them. And, you know, be a parent. Sometimes you got to be a parent, you know what I mean? And if you try being the little friend, one of their little friends, you know how they say that, right?
Yeah.
You can end up hurting them in the long run. I think remaining humble, and also, man, remaining teachable. Remaining teachable from, you know, going to your OGs or your friends that have older kids, you know, and that whole It Takes a Village stuff, man, it has helped me in my journey.
Yeah.
Whenever I relied on my friends and family to help me, because, yo, being a parent can be draining.
Mm.
It can be definitely draining, man. I got kids outside of my home, you know, with mothers that I'm not longer with. You know, I got my youngest kids live with me, which has been a whole different experience.
Mm.
And I have stepchildren, you know, and all kinds of different dynamics comes from that, man. I got boys, I got girls.
Yeah.
I got a granddaughter now too. So it's like, there's so many different elements, man. And the key is to enjoy each child for who they are, embrace them, empower them individually. And it's a collective. Make sure that they're best friends with each other. And that's it. That's it.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned going to the OGs and, like, how, you know, the village. Because, like, when I was a part of MBK in one of the sessions last month, like, it was like an hour and a half long conversation of dads just talking about, like, you know, somebody had asked for some advice, and I just thought it was the dopest thing. You know what I mean? Just to be able to have those conversations. And I feel like, you know, I mean, again, I'm not on that side. You know, I don't have a child yet, but, you know, from the sidelines, I was able to see that night how important those conversations are. You know what I mean? And like, what was there ever a time where, I mean, for each of you, was there ever a time where your walls were like up, or was it a particular situation that kind of opened you up to other guys to be able to talk about fatherhood, or how did that happen?
For me in particular, no. Mm-hmm. I didn't have my pops growing up. Mm. I mean, I know him and we talked, but I wasn't close to him.
Interesting.
So from the moment I was like maybe like 14, 15 years old, I always had OGs in my corner that I could go to for whether they was basketball advice, financial advice, and stuff like that. And I'm not putting that I think about it. I got to talk to them because they ain't put me onto the credit card game early enough. That's another story.
Yeah.
But I always felt comfortable going to them for advice.
Mm.
Outside of my daughter, my first child being born, you know, again, fatherhood teaches you humility real early.
Mm.
And I always felt comfortable going to people whenever I needed help. But whenever I felt like I needed help, you know, the issue was me getting in my own way early on as a young boy, thinking that I was more of a man than I really was.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But ever since I've always had people in my corner. But I've never been too proud to go ask for advice to.
Mm.
Advice from, I'm sorry.
What about you, Jay?
As far as advice, I would say to a certain extent, I would have a wall up or some type of barrier that I won't say wouldn't allow me to accept advice, but I don't really like embrace it or hold on to it.
Mm.
Especially when it comes to my kids. Like, I'm a very private person.
Yeah.
And when it comes to, like, my personal life and my life decisions and my children who I hold dear to me, I don't really allow people to have a lot of input in how I raise my kids.
Mm.
I'm spiritual, so, you know, I go to God for every decision that I make, especially concerning my kids. And I read a lot, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to try to search for and seek, you know, the best information I can when it comes to parenting, as opposed to just, you know, listening to people give me advice.
Mm.
But if it's good, sound advice, then I'll take it.
Mm.
But it's not something that, you know, I'm quick to accept or embrace. But I've also, you know what I'm saying? Like, I won't say that I've raised my kids by myself. I've also had, you know, a village and support system there to help me. But when it came down to decisions, at the end of the day, it was on me. You know what I mean? Like, so for me, I'm very skeptical about advice because a lot of people give advice and then they're not willing to be there with you when you have to deal with the consequences of the advice that they gave you.
Mm.
So I'm more of the type of person like, yo, I'm going to make the decision and I'm going to deal with the consequences, whether good or bad, because I know that I'm going to be the one dealing with it, like not everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what's dope about having like a two-headed interview, you know what I mean? Like, you get to see multiple perspectives, you know what I mean? I'm really into that because I can imagine that, like, multiple perspectives, multiple journeys. I mean, you've each seen different things on this journey of fatherhood, you know? So, my question would be, what is something that you saw that you wish, you know, got more attention in the conversation of fatherhood?
Something that I've experienced and also observed is that fatherhood is a hands-on job.
Mm.
Like, we, a lot of our teaching hands-on, like a lot of our relationship building, like teachable moments have to be in the presence of our children.
Mm.
And I think that a lot of people minimize the importance of a father being present in your children's lives. I think it's pretty common to just settle for financial assistance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's enough. And I think that we should talk about that more. You know what I mean? I think that should be a lot more light on that and a lot more support, and a lot of people should, I believe, be pushing for more time spent with a child's father.
Mm.
I think a mother and a father is equally important. You know what I mean? Like, they bring different dynamics, different energy, different perspectives, personalities, just things that your child needs in both parties. And I think that even like culturally and socially, it's acceptable to be like, all right, the woman gets full custody and, you know, the father can visit on weekends or like whatever, you know, people's situations end up becoming.
Mm.
I think that really, you know, does a disservice to our children.
Mm.
And I'm speaking more so as a whole, just looking at, you know, all the fathers that I know that aren't actively in their child's life, you know, the things that they want to, or the things that they want to teach their children, the things that they want to instill in them.
Yeah, the experiences.
Like, you can't really do that when you're not in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So what oftentimes happens is you get to spend a few, you know, days or weekends or whatever it may be with them, and you end up just chilling and having fun, you know what I mean? Like, and just trying to enjoy the moment as opposed to being the quote-unquote bad cop, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, let me sit you down, let me teach you about this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. And you start lecturing them, and they're like, yo, like, I'm not trying to hear this. Like,
yeah, yeah.
We only got a little bit of time with you, and all you're doing is trying to teach me something. You know what I mean? Like, so more time gives you more opportunity to give balance, to be able to be the fun guy, but also be able to, you know, throw some lessons in there and, you know, add value to your children's lives.
Mm.
You know what, Jay? Can I say something about that, though?
Of course.
A lot of times, you know, that the amount of time we spend with our kids is not, we don't have control of. You know, I wouldn't even say a lot of time, but I've been in situations where my time with my son, for example, was very limited. You know what I mean? Based on distance, I was in the Army, I was in Virginia, my son was living in Ohio. So whenever I would have him, this is my first son. And I felt a lot of pressure to raise my son. And, you know, this is right around the time when, right before the Trayvon Martin stuff happened, but, you know, like police brutality and hate and shit like that was kind of running rampant. It still is. But I remember feeling this pressure to raise a wholesome man, a productive man, even when he was young. And part of that was investing his emotional maturity and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And making sure he felt loved, that I verbally told my son, I love you. And I didn't try to make him this tough guy. And sometimes, yeah, when that time is limited, I remember trying, I can't be sitting here trying to be all structural and saying that word, but, you know, trying to be all, you know, like hard body, like Denzel and Fences and shit. You know what I mean? I was like, nah, I'm gonna just love on my little man, because I would have him for 2 or 3 days at a time per month, and I didn't want to spend time with him being mad at me or confused. I just wanted to hug him a little dude and make him smile. Eventually, you know, that succeeded. Baby moms and I came together a little bit better, and those teachable moments started to happen more often.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to be fair because everybody's situation is different.
Mm.
And, you know, to answer your question now, being able to be invest in your child's emotional development is important. You know, like emotional maturity. Understanding that raising a boy is no different than raising a daughter, in the sense of you got to teach him the same thing, same values. You cannot let your sons go out there and have little girlfriends, quote unquote, while raising your daughters, not to date, to graduate college or whatever it might be. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. make it
double standard.
Don't raise sons that you don't want your daughters dating.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's powerful.
Which is what we do, though.
Mm.
Which is what we do. But I think that right there, man, if we start focusing on the emotional development and maturity, understanding that, you know, our sons and daughters are not ours, yo. They're eventually going to be somebody's partner, somebody's mother, somebody's coworker, and making sure that they grow up to become wholesome and dependable adults, assertive adults, you know what I mean? I think is the most important thing.
Why do you think that, like, the domino effect of, like, you know, each of those lessons as fathers, like, why do you think that, like, the domino effect is kind of ignored? You know what I mean? Like, or do you feel like it's ignored? You know, like, do you feel like people, you know, don't pay attention to the fact that, like, a child that they're raising is going to be a full-blown citizen one day? You know what I mean? Like,
when it comes to fatherhood?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, historically, fathers weren't active in the house. They were outside getting money, or they were fighting wars, you know what I mean? So them even having to consider what their child will become in the future, like, wasn't the primary focus. It was, let me, you know, have a house for them to live in, put some clothes on their back, put some food on the table, and their mother's going to raise them, you know what I mean? And she's going to do a great job. Like, I married her so that she can run the house and raise the kids. And I have 100% faith in, you know, her doing a good job. Now, us having all of these different types of family structures, that isn't the consistent or not even the normal family structure anymore. Mm. So now we still have the same expectations of a father, even though the system is different or the structure is different. And a lot of men are being raised to be fathers that aren't intentionally thinking about how your child is going to end up becoming as an adult. Like, what does that look like? And I want to be clear, because there are a lot of great fathers, and I think that we're doing the best job that we've ever been doing as men, you know, when it comes to being a father. But there's this, I guess, ongoing stereotype that men are just, we're neglectful, we're lazy, we're just here to have fun with the kids, you know, have a good time or whatever. And, like, we're not invested in their emotional intelligence or their spiritual growth, or, you know, instilling, you know, universal principles and just character and integrity and all of these things. So some people think that all a man has to do is pay the bills, have fun with the kids, you know what I'm saying? Play video games, take them to the park, whatever, like, do the fun stuff with them, and mom will be the disciplinarian. It's still kind of similar expectations where mom raises the child, and the father just, you know, has fun with them.
We're in a different age now, so a lot of things are reversing, and I feel like that's, you know, one of the things that, that should definitely change, that stigma against fatherhood. Like, I know a lot of great fathers, you know what I mean? And I say that a lot. Like, I love Father's Day. I love to be able to scroll down the timeline and see it, you know, but then I just hate, like, how it just goes left. Like, one person says something wrong about the whole situation, then it multiplies and multiplies. But, like, you know, does that add any do those societal norms add any pressure to you guys?
Personally, I could care less about any societal norms or expectations. I really don't care. I care that my children are happy, that they're healthy, that they're growing spiritually, that they're discovering what their purpose is. You know what I mean? Like they're becoming good human beings. Like, that's what I care about the most. I want my kids to look at me as a role model and an example of what love emotion looks like. Like, what love wrapped in flesh looks like. And that's that I care about. And if they're able to, you know, take that energy and build off of it, then that's a win for me.
Yeah. What about you, Miguel?
I agree 100%. I don't really care what you know, the outside world telling my kids. I mean, not that I don't care, but I know and all I can do as a father is teach my kids the best that I can, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever I can. At the end of the day, there's simple, basic stuff that I know that I have to teach them.
Yeah.
Think for yourself, be a leader, don't be a follower. Understand that every action has a consequence and a reaction. So, you know, you're going to do what you want to do, but know that for everything you do, whether positive or negative, have the reaction and the consequence. So be ready for that.
Yeah.
because at the end of the day, kids are going to, you know, we cannot undermine the influence that society, a.k.a. their friends, school, girls or boys, whoever they're dating, TV, all that stuff is going to have on them.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to, my goal for myself is to teach my kids to be independent and free thinkers, you know what I'm saying? Formulate their own opinions and be independent. You know, don't be followers. Don't feel pressured into doing stuff and stuff. You know, certain things that is kind of, I want to abstract, but it's not black and white.
Yeah.
It's more like, yo, when it's time to come for you to make a decision, think it through, make it, and stand your ground. So, I agree with what Jay said. Man, I don't really care what society is putting out there. Some stuff is better. Some stuff is like, oh, I don't know about this, but, at the end of the day, as long as I'm close to my kids enough to have their ear, at least when they're little. Cause yeah. I remember my mom, my dad would tell me shit. You know, I didn't get it then, but eventually I got it.
Mm-hmm. Caught on, yeah.
And that's all we can do, bro. You know, that's all we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that and teaching and leading by example. Also, you know, my kids see me, you know, on the NBK calls, they come in and be like, I see daddy talking to other dudes and they eavesdrop sometimes and stuff like that. I know shit like that matters.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So they see how close I am with my friends. You know, I don't even call it, you know, my best friends are their uncles and stuff like that, you know, and they see how important it is for me to have
a good circle.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I always tell them, like, protect your friends, you know, empower your friends. I say, yo, if your friend gets bullied and I don't hear that you both got bullied or that you stood up for your friend, we're going to have a problem because mm-hmm. you stand up for your circle. For example, I want to, you know, it's not just that, but.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, teaching them that stuff, man, and making sure that whatever you teach them, you know, they can see that shit reflected on your behavior and your actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think is the most important thing. So I don't really care what society does. So that's going to have to always be there.
Yeah, I really appreciate how much you guys mentioned the importance of, I guess, you know, passing on those emotional lessons, if you will. Like, you know, and as fathers, I feel like that's not something that, you know, people would expect. Or people think they're like, you know, fathers can't do things like that, or, you know, what does that look like in terms like a father, you know, sharing the emotional lessons with their kid? Like, what does that look like for you guys?
It's just, I don't know. It's just, it just happens in real life, like scenarios where you see your children going through different, you know, life experiences and you get to see how they react to that emotionally. And you can kind of like from the outside in give them some advice or some input, mm-hmm. you know, help them process what they're feeling, what they're thinking, what they're experiencing, and let them know that it's okay to feel it all. You know what I mean? It's okay to feel it all. It's okay to, you know, live in the moment and express how you feel or how you were affected by whatever it is that you went through. You know what I mean? And if there's any positive advice that I can give them on how to, you know, maneuver or how to make better decisions, then I will. Sometimes I let them come to their own conclusions on their own because my kids are smart. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes they come to their conclusions before I can even, you know, give them any advice or any feedback.
Mm.
It's really about not, you know, limiting them, you know, not trying to tell them how to feel or tell them what they should do or shouldn't do, you know, when they're going through whatever emotions that they're going through. I ask a lot of questions, you know what I mean? Which primarily focused on like, what do you desire to experience? Or what do you want out of this situation or out of life or whatever? And then we can walk through how to get to your desired destination as opposed to just reacting emotionally because of however you feel. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. for me, it's all about coaching them. Like, hey, it's not really, it doesn't bother me how you react, like, at all. But does your reaction get you the desired results, your desired results?
Mm.
And then that gets them to think about what they feel and what they want and how to handle it. And it's been going pretty well so far.
Mm. I got a question for you, Jay. I'm going to come back to you, though. Miguel, do you want to add something to that?
Yeah, real quick. I'm pretty big on making sure that my kids are able to acknowledge their emotions, whatever they might be feeling, so that they can learn to control their reactions to their emotions. Understand what, you know, emotions are normal, being sad, being upset, being happy. So recognize that you're feeling a certain way. Recognize the signs and the physical and mental and emotional cues that you feel when you start feeling upset,
mm-hmm,
or sad or whatever it is, so that, you know, you develop tools on how to control stuff depending on the situation. You know what I mean? I tell my kids, home, you're always going to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to cry, cry. If you want to punch the heavy bag, we got a heavy bag in the room.
Oh yeah,
they good to go. well, you know, because, you know, but you can't do that everywhere. You can't be in school swinging at the air, for example, or
yeah.
Let me go in the corner. You know, I'm gonna give you a quick example, man. A few months ago, my son watched the movie Selena for the first time.
Yeah,
he was nine, and he watched that joint, bro. When I tell you at the end of the movie, when he found out she was killed. Like, he just broke it all.
He lost it.
He just in it all. Yo, but not like in a little way, like what? She killed her, you know?
Man.
And then they say her age. She was 23, and then he started crying again, yo. And when I tell you, like, I had to, you know, most people would have been like, come on, look, this is only a movie. Don't worry about it. Like, nah, bro, like, just say, I feel you.
Yeah, man, that would have ripped me apart, bro. Like, I...
Well, it did, so I had to embrace it, little dude. He was literally shaking, you know what I mean? And I'm like, but yo, I said, don't feel bad that you're crying like that. That makes you a human freaking being. That means you care about people.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you're on a freaking date at the movies, you cannot scream like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you might want to excuse yourself, but yo, what, you felt that moment? It's normal. I'm not crying now because I've seen the movie freaking like 100 times. But believe you me, the first time I watched it, bro, I cried.
It tore you up.
Big dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you have those conversations with him.
Mm.
You know what I mean? About acknowledging their emotions. So they're going to control how they react, especially as a black man growing up in America. They're going to have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got four boys, my three sons and my stepson. He's an adult now, but again, you teach them that stuff so that they can be situationally aware of where they are, what's happening around them, and how they're feeling, how they're going to respond to it. You know what I mean? But acknowledge your emotions, yo. It's okay. We learn real quick to, as men especially, to mask certain feelings with anger or happiness. You know, you can't be sad, you can't be joyful, you gotta be either calm and collected or you gotta be angry, one of the two.
Yeah,
nah, bro, like, celebrate life, bro, and acknowledge pain. It's cool. It happens. So that's big for me,
and that's what I was getting ready to ask. And actually, the questions for both of you, this to be the second to last question, you know, just to tap into that emotional, I guess, to teach them how to do that, like, you know, you kind of have to do it for yourself, right? Like, was it ever difficult? You know, was it ever difficult to even get to that conversation with them because you had to go through yourself first? Or, you know, did things change when you had a child and you kind of faced yourself so you can, you know, help them face their emotions? Like, how does all of that play out?
Well, it wasn't hard for me. My oldest is a girl, so... I was kind of already, you know what I'm saying, like, instilling emotional intelligence in her, because, I mean, it's kind of expected. But even when it was kind of early on in life, it was more so like, do as I say, not as I do. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't really, you know, trying to grow emotionally. I wasn't even thinking about it. But I knew that as a father, I wanted my children to, you know, feel protected, you know, to be able to express their feelings, to be safe, you know what I mean? Like, so all of those things, especially, you know, as a young kid, like, I feel like it was something that I had to help her through for the majority of the time. And then when my son came, it was just the same. My son is like such a sweet little boy that I never required or expected him to be like a macho man. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Even as a little boy, he was the type of kid to like hug all of the children before he left. You know what I mean? Like on his own. No one taught him how to do that. He didn't see me do that because I'm not that kind of person. You know what I mean? So I saw that in him and I was like, all right, cool. I got to let him be who he is. And it just kind of happened naturally that way.
Mm.
And through parenting them, I learned a lot myself. So they kind of taught me about emotional intelligence.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So
interesting.
That's kind of how it unfolded for me personally.
Interesting. What about you, Miguel?
It's being honest with them, apologizing when I'm wrong. Mm. That's a hard one for fathers to do. You know what I mean? Like, if I mess up, going back to them, if I yell at them or whatever, understanding that it's fatherhood is kind of a two-way street. You know what I mean? As much as I want to teach my children, I acknowledge to them that I learn from them also.
Mm.
I celebrate them. The same way I expect them to apologize when they're wrong for something, I do the same thing.
Mm.
I'm very honest and open with them. I suffer from depression and anxiety.
Mm.
And, there have been times in my life, for example, when I was in the Army for 10 years.
Yeah.
I was medically retired, and that transition from active duty to retiree was tough.
Yeah, I can
imagine. First 5-6 months, man, I wasn't doing shit, bro. I was just sitting on my bed for days at a time.
Wow.
And it was crippling. And I had to sit them down. I said, yo, daddy's going through a rough patch right now, which is brand new for them. Mind you, my last duty station was Hawaii.
Mm.
So all we did was be at the beach day in and day out. It was a beautiful experience, you know. So for them to go from that to coming to Virginia and daddy's no longer there, I'm there physically, but I'm checked out, yo.
Yeah.
Sitting them down and having those conversations with them, I'd be like, yo, daddy's going through a rough time right now. You know, I'm sorry. I'm trying. I'm working hard, but I know you guys have seen me in a different light. Like, having those conversations, even when you think they don't understand, they're going to hear you apologize.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And they remember those conversations. And later on, they can reference them back as they get older. You know what I mean? So I think that's very important, man, to teach by example. You know what I mean? And not being this... like I just said, do what I say, not what I do type of person.
Were your kids a big part of you, helping to get back to yourself? And thank you for your service, by the way.
I appreciate it, but thank you for your support.
Yeah.
Definitely. At the end of the day, man, like, if no one else needs me, my kids do.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So for me to go get help, for me to wheel myself out of bed, my children did that for me more than anything else. So, you know, I always tell them, I'm thankful and I'm very proud to be your father all the time. Because it's freaking true, though. You know what I mean? Sometimes I have nothing else gets me out of bed other than my kids needing breakfast, for example. You know what I mean? Like, and once I'm up, okay, fine. Like, you know, the wheels start turning and you keep, you know, you go from one thing to the next or whatever, and there goes your whole day.
Yep.
But it's them.
Mm.
If they weren't around, I probably wouldn't get up out of bed sometimes, yo. So they give me purpose. Because at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? Like, again, when you sometimes depression hits you low enough that you're thinking about suicide, something like that.
Yeah.
It hasn't for me in a very long time, but when the times that it has, you know, the one thing that keeps me from diving into that type of, into those thoughts is that who's gonna explain it to my children that why daddy ain't hit?
Mm.
And me being in behavioral health, I know, I've seen what suicide does to family, especially children of people that commit suicide or that die by suicide. And I will never want to put that on my children, ever. know what I mean? So you push through. You push through.
That's powerful, man. That's powerful. Right. I appreciate you guys for sharing. Just one more question, and then we up out of here. Like, each of you get to give one piece of advice to a guy who just found out he's having a kid. I don't know this guy, but, you know, let's just say he's out there. You know, what's that piece of advice?
I would say always be a lifetime student when it comes to being a father. Be open to learning as much as possible and understand that being a father is an everyday job 24/7 for the rest of your life.
Mm. What about you, Miguel?
I would say enjoy the journey, man. Understand there are going to be good days, bad days, scary days, easy days, difficult days, but it's a beautiful journey to see a little person growing to a young man and woman. And it goes by faster than you think. Mm. So enjoy each day. Hug your children as much as possible. Tell them you love them. Don't assume that they know you do because you are going to work or you're buying them things. Tell them. Mm. Physically hug them, kiss them, love them. And treat them like you would like them to treat other people in the end. You know what I'm saying? Like teach them by example. So that's what I would say.
Indeed,
but I mean, you know, obviously, man, so much you can say to a new father, man. Like,
yeah, it's like it's just a lot of lessons, bro.
Yeah, man.
I just be like, wow, wow. Well, hey guys, I want you to have a great Father's Day weekend, man. I really appreciate y'all taking the time to kick it with me tonight, and really appreciate you being transparent, man. That is, I show a lot of gratitude for that because that don't happen often, you know. So I appreciate that, man, for real.
I respect, brother. I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Indeed, man. God bless you, both of your families.
All right, likewise, bro. Peace.
Don't go nowhere. I'm coming to see you. And y'all don't want no problems.
It's Brian's World Live.